Our first scripture lesson today is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Listen now for these words of scripture, for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom God has foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom God called, he also justified. And those whom God justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? God, who did not withhold God's own Son, but he gave him up for all of us, will God not with Christ also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Rose and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air, and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I could have done if clouds weren't in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, that dizzy dancing way you feel, as every fairy tale comes real. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. You leave them laughing when you go, and if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions I recall. I really don't know love at all. tears and fears and feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way. But now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads, they say I've changed. Well, something's lost and something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all. Sometimes our scripture readings leave things out. When we look at our lectionary passages for a Sunday morning, there just seems to be something missing. So I would like to share with you what we didn't read this morning in the two passages, one from Matthew, the other from Romans. What we didn't read is when Jesus' disciples ask him the meaning of a parable. What we didn't read is any of it, I guess. Did I read that passage from Matthew? Well, you know, I was so concentrated on singing that song. Let me read from Matthew. We've already heard from Romans. That's the good thing about these live services, isn't it? There are no take twos. Matthew chapter 13, selected verses. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seeds in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? And he answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and he went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the wheats in the field. And he answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be in the end of the age. And the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone who has ears listen. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. And now my opening comments will make a little more sense. I won't sing the song again. In the verses we just heard, and in the verses we heard from the book of Romans, this is what we didn't read. Jesus' disciples asked him the meaning of the parable. And he began, "Well, there are at least two sides to every story. The right one depends on your perspective. And everyone is entitled to their own opinion." And in Romans, the Apostle Paul is asked by his various congregations how they should conduct themselves during times of conflict and persecution. And he replied, "It's always best to avoid conflict and agree to disagree." Now, we didn't read those things because they are not there. Well, if they're not there, then where are they? Because we hear them all the time, especially in church. Well, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And we just need to agree to disagree. Where do we hear this? Well, if it's not in our lectionary, then it is definitely in our cultural lectionary. The word according to conventional wisdom. That's the word that most of us walk around in our lives saying thanks be to God for. The word of conventional wisdom. And conventional wisdom these days tells us that everybody has an opinion. All opinions are valid, and opinions are somehow considered personal and individual truth. You have your truth, I have my truth. Well, it seems to me that according to our scriptures, according to the prophets, according to the law, according to the gospel, nothing could be further from the truth. Now, I would imagine that I have probably alienated some of you by now, telling you that your opinion doesn't count, telling you that your truth is not the real truth. You need to know that I say these things to myself as well. However, I do ask that you please stay with me, because we need to take a look at what Scripture tells us. And we have a bad habit of looking at our Scriptures in bits and pieces. We memorize one little verse out of context. We put that on our wall or our mirror, and that becomes our mantra. We need to look at the whole story of Scripture all the time. Every time we pick up Scripture, even if we don't read the whole Scripture, we need to have the background of the Scripture in our minds, underneath and behind and around and through whatever it is we are taking a look at. And the same goes for these passages that we've read this morning. We need to look at the whole of the Scripture. And when we look at the whole of Scripture, we discover that our Scriptures, the stories, the history, the poetry of our scriptures do contain many sides, both sides, if you will. That's one of the beautiful things about our scriptures, is it doesn't leave out everything. It gives the bad with the good. There are many sides to our scriptures. But in the whole context of our scriptures, the story eventually comes down on the side of love. Choices are asked for and decisions are made in our scriptures. And consequences develop in the lives of people for following the choices that they make. And it's the same in our lives as well. But our scriptures teach us that within all the multiplicity of opinions and viewpoints and narratives within the stories, they always come down on the side of love. Love. Love that is grounded in justice and mercy and equity and dignity and peace. These are the hallmarks of our scriptures. The values, if you will. Jesus tells us this story about weeds and wheat. That weeds and wheat are growing together in the field. Both sides, if you will, weeds and wheat are growing in this field. But there's one interesting piece of this story that I would like for us to take a look at this morning, and that's that little phrase that says, "But while they were asleep, someone came and sowed weeds." While they were asleep. My friends, I would suggest to us this morning that when we look around the world and we see what we perceive to be weeds, and of course, all of us think we're wheat, right? Everybody thinks we're wheat, and everybody else are the weeds. When we look around and see the wheat and the weeds together and sometime discover that we are weeds too, when we look around and say, how did we get in this situation? I would bring us back to that little phrase, while we were asleep. When we don't pay attention, when we just blithely go through life according to conventional wisdom, when we just blithely go through life, always allowing both sides and never choosing one, when we go through life agreeing to disagree, and never really discussing and working out the conflicts in our lives and in our world, when we do those things, we are in effect sleepwalking. And while we are asleep, the weeds begin to grow. The wheat grows as well. The story tells us that both are growing. And eventually, the field gets to the point where you can't just rid yourself of the weeds, because you may take down some of the wheat as well. And according to the parable, the way Jesus explains it to his disciples, that this is a parable for the end of the age, that eventually the weeds will be, it will all be cut down and it will be separated, and the weeds will be burned and the wheat will be kept, because the wheat is what nourishes us. I would suggest that we can also take this parable and look at it in a very practical sense, in here and now, not about some place off in the future, but here and now in our lives, each and every day, as we look at our own lives, as we look at our communities, as we look at our collective lives, as cities, as counties, as states, as nations, as people of this globe, we look at the wheat and the weeds. And weeds grow when we are asleep. And I would suggest to us that as we look around, especially in our country today, that we have been asleep. We have been sleepwalking. We have been walking through the comforts of a booming economy. We have been walking through the advancements of agriculture and technology while not noticing everybody within the field of life. We haven't noticed that the field itself was taken from someone who already lived there. We haven't noticed that the workers in the field were captured from a foreign country and brought to this country and worked to build the economies. We have been asleep, and the weeds have grown. And we have continued to say, but everybody's got an opinion. And we have continued to say, let's agree to disagree. But our scriptures disagree with that terribly. Our scriptures always come down on the side of justice and mercy and equity and love. And that's what this parable is really about. As we look at the big picture and we try to discern our place in it. And let me remind you, at times we are all wheat and at other times we are weeds. But when we are awake, when we are paying attention, we will be wheat. Now, Paul is writing to, in this particular book, to a community in Rome. But his other letters are written to other communities. And Paul is always dealing with conflict within these communities, and he's always dealing with bad things that are happening. Some of these people in these communities that follow the teachings of Jesus are being persecuted. Paul himself rarely goes into a community that he doesn't end up being beaten or locked up in prison or run out of town. Life is not easy for the followers of Jesus in these communities around the Mediterranean that Paul has planted. Paul and his disciples have planted in these different communities. And the letters we have from him are written to these communities of conflict and persecution. And this famous passage that we have from the book of Romans, where he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And then what can separate us from the love of God? What can separate us from the love of God? And when he asks that rhetorical question, of course, he answers it with these words, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this is not an exclusionary statement that says you got to believe in Jesus if you want to get the love of God. The love of God in Christ Jesus, Christ, the ever-present Spirit of God in creation. As Paul himself says, from the beginning of creation, the presence of Christ is with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But mind you, this passage does not say these things will disappear. We will go through these things. We will experience these things. Just as a matter of living, each and every one of us, to some degree or another, will experience each and every one of the things listed here. But it won't separate us from God's love. And this is the other truth that we discover in these two passages this morning, is that love encompasses us all, no matter how bad it gets. No matter what our city streets look like, no matter how many stormtrooper looking officials are gassing citizens, no matter how many people are marching and protesting and destroying property, no matter, it doesn't separate us from God's love. And when we begin to focus on God's love, to go back to Jesus' parable, when we wake up, we can begin to be the presence of that love in all of these things. So in the end, if there's one simple message to this that comes from looking at the whole story, it's that love endures anything, everything, all the time. It doesn't eliminate, it endures. And we are called to live in this kind of love. We are called to be wheat among the tares, the weeds. But the only way we can do it is if we wake up. Wake up to that simple fact of who we really are. I know I sound like a broken record sometime, but it does all boil down to remembering who we really are. We are created in the image of the Creator of this amazing creation. And we are given the intellect and the imagination of creativity ourselves. And we are called to live in this creativity and imagination in ways that represent and reproduce the love of God. Now that, my friends, getting back to the song I sang, is not an illusion. That is reality. All other things are an illusion until we wake up to the fact that God's love is at the center always. Amen. What does the world look like when God's will is done? What does the world look like when love is at the center? What does the world look like when we wake up? Well, I can tell you what the world looks like when we go to sleep. It looks a lot like the world we see today. How many times have you heard people say, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, pick a year, not that long ago, could you have imagined some of the things that are taking place in the world today? And even if you had, it would have seemed so far-fetched and even absurd. This is what happens when we don't pay attention. When we don't pay attention in our faith, when we don't pay attention in our communities, when we don't pay attention to the reality of God's love in the world, rather than the conventional wisdoms that we like to follow. I challenge us this morning in this charge to wake up. To wake up out of the illusion of both sides and realize that we are all one in God's love. Amen.